first mystery, Rivka. Eliezer comes to Padan Aram to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he comes to a well and he says to God, "Listen, God, the girl that I will ask to give me to drink," and she will say, "Yes, I'll give you to drink, and I will also give your camels to drink. That girl is the one that you've set aside for Yitzchak." And lo and behold, the first girl that he asks responds. It's unbelievable. She responds by saying, "Yes, I'll give you to drink." And she gives him to drink. And then she says, and also for all your camels. You understand, there are 10 camels. 10 camels and 10 gesunte camel drivers. And here is a young girl, and she runs, and she hurries, and she fetches, and she fills, and she gives to drink. And the man is standing there absolutely in awe and amazement. And then, of course, we know the rest of the story. Yes, this is Rivka. She's from the house of Besuel and Lavan. She's a daughter of Besuel. She's Mishpucha. She was Mishpucha to Avram and to Yitzchak. Isn't there something a little bit unusual about that kind of chesed? There are points, certain points, and I'm not telling you this to talk you out of any of the great things that you do. Chesed is great, but there's a certain point where you just go over the line and it's a little exaggerated. Mugzam. The Israelis have a good word. It's mugzam. These camel drivers, 10 husky, big, strong fellows to do it. But no, she does it. She does it. Where does she get this? Where does Rivka learn this? What made her such a balas chesed? And she has even greater courage. I mean, I'm talking, we're assuming, let's say, she's 14, she's 15, whatever it is. She's a young girl, and then she is asked by her family, "Will you go with this man? Off into the unknown. And she says one word, and that one word, if I want to be bombastic, most probably is one of the most powerful words in Sefer Bereishis. Eilech. I'm going to go with that man. Like, without the blinking an eye, she makes a decision, and it's not a matter of that, you know, she's going to Eretz Canaan, you understand, for a year, for a Pesach Zman and a Winter Zman, and then she'll be coming back for Sukkot to Padan Aram. She's going, and she's going forever. And she's able to say, without any hesitation, Eilech, I'm going. And going. Unbelievable. This is unbelievable. There's also another little mystery along the way. When she finds out who this man is at the well, it says that she ran to tell Beit Ima, the house of her mother. And Rashi says, the house of her mother, because the women used to have a separate house in which they would do their work. Now that's sort of, all right, because we would have thought that she ran home. She didn't run home. She ran Lebeis Ima. It was probably, mother had a place where she would do her cooking and baking and sewing and all sorts of other things. She runs there. Why? The biggest mystery with regard to Rivka is Vayivieha Yitzchak ha'ohela sora imo. Yitzchak brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah Vayehoveha, and he loved her. Vayinachem acharei imo, and he was consoled for the loss of his mother. Rashi says, Rashi says he brought her to the tent of his mother. He brought her to the tent of Sarah Imo, his mother Sarah. And you know what? She is Sarah. In what respect is she Sarah? Rashi says as long as Sarah was alive, there was always a cloud of glory over her tent. The candles remained lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, and there was bracha in the food in the house. And all of this stopped when Sarah died. Rivka comes into the tent. It's Sarah all over again. How did it happen? Rashi sort of brings us to the very point of the question at the beginning of Parshas Toldos. They tell us that Yitzhak married Rivka, the daughter of Betuel Harami, the sister of Lavan Harami. And Rashi says she came from a place that was evil, had a father who was evil, had a brother who was evil, and from them came this great tzedekus. Question. Pray tell me, how? How did Rivka become Rivka? How did Rivka become Sarah Imenu? Here she is, in that den of absolute iniquity. She's living in a place that's all evil, pagan, heathen. It's amazing. How does it happen? There has to be a reason how this happened. We have to find the secret. The secret. So I want to tell you the secret. And what's fascinating about the secret is the Rabbeinu Shlomo works in such strange ways. You know, the Rabbeinu Shlomo, first of all, you will see that the Rabbeinu Shlomo has a very, very healthy sense of humor. The Rabbeinu Shlomo has his ways, and our responsibility is at least to find and figure out what they are. So I'll tell you, coming straight to the answer. It says that when Rivka left the house of her parents, she, together with Eliezer and all of the rest, and Meinikta, she took her nurse maid along with her. I don't think it was. It means that she was nursing at the time, but she had somebody who had been her, who took care of her when she was a little girl. And you know, maybe people, even when they grow up, need their blanket that they had when they were little children. She takes her nurse with her. And she follows them to the land of Canaan. This nurse, of all things, she appears sort of just out of the blue. She appears in Parshas Vayishlach. Yaakov is on his way home. Oh, so much has happened. So much has happened. Rivka marries Yitzchak. After being without children for 10 years, she gives birth to these two twins. As Tutzachop, Yaakov, Esav. Yaakov has to flee to the house of Lavan. 22 years later, he's on his way back. He's someplace south of Shechem, near Beit El. And it says, he built a mizbeach, because there God appeared to him. Vatomos Devorah, Meinekes Rivka. Devorah, now we find out that this Meinekes had a name. She was Devorah, Meinekes Rivka. Devorah, who was the nurse of Rivka. We know nothing about her. All that we know is that Rivka took her with her when she went to the land of Canaan. All of a sudden, she appears someplace between Shechem and Beit El, someplace in the Shomron. She appears there. Yaakov and his family are on the way home, and after the 22 years, it will still be away until they get to Be'er Sheva and to Hebron, and she died. But she covered me tachat le Beit El, tachat ha'alon, she was buried
below Beit El, under a tree. Vayikra Shmo, and they called the place Alon Bachut, the tree of crying, of crying. So, but what's Rashi says? My Indian Dvorah Beis Yaakov. What's Dvorah doing here? How did she get here? What's she doing here? Ah, so Rashi says, since Rivka told Yaakov when she ordered him to flee from before Esav, L'fisha Amra Rivka LeYaakov, V'shalachti U'lekachti Itcham Isham, I will send a message to tell you when to come home. So she had sent Dvorah. She had sent Dvorah. Shocha Dvorah Etzlo L'tadar Agam. Let's save Misham. She sent Dvorah to tell him to come home. Umeita by Terach, and she died on the road. So says Rabbi Moshe Hadarshon. Ramban here says, he has a number of problems. He says, all this crying, alone bachut, the tree of crying, for a meinekes, a kenos, some alter meinekes over here. Ramban doesn't, this doesn't make sense. He can't even accept what Rashi brings in there, Rav Moshe Hadarshon, to go send Dvorah to notify Yaakov time to come home. You know who you send on a mission of that sort? A young fellow who rides hard, Pony Express, and crosses all the mountains of Eved Hayadin, cross Mesopotamia, beyond the Euphrates. An ultimate nekes, you're going to send her, Ismichin, this poor lady, in order to tell Yaakov, Kemahem, right? Like she becomes a brivalef in Mamma, you understand? The Mamma is sending a brivalef, come home. So there's a mystery. Dvorah is a mystery. But then again, we may be able to unlock the mystery of Dvorah. What I'm going to say is theory, imagination, but I have this very, very strong feeling that it's absolutely true. What I'm going to say is absolutely true. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam knew that Yitzchak is going to need a kala. He knew that this is going to be necessary. He knew that Avraham Avinu was not going to permit Yitzchak to marry a Canaanite woman. This marriage, this kala has to be made by heaven. How does the Rebbeinu do it? You know? They hire a meinekes in the house of Lavan and Besuel. Woman by the name of Dvorah, very nondescript kind of woman, still sits in the background over there. On her hours off, she most probably knits and then embroiders, and she makes little booties and makes little hats and all sorts of stuff. You know who Dvorah is? I'll tell you who Dvorah is. And when you know who Dvorah is, you'll understand everything that's happening. Everything will be explained. When Avram and Sarah created that great and overwhelming discovery that there's a Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants, Avram made a spiritual revolution that reverberates up until today. The great discovery of Avram and Sarah, but they didn't keep it to themselves. Avram and Sarah were convinced that they have to spread this message to the world. So it says, "Es hanefesh asher osa b'choron." Avram is megayer the anoshim, Sarah megayeret et hanoshim. They have thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are following Avram. And then Avram and Sarah go off to Eretz Canaan. One agent remains in place behind. One woman remains, who was the great Talmidah of Sarah and Avram. This woman is Devorah. You know what the Rebbeinu Shimon does? He plants her in the house of Lavan. That house of Avodah Zarah, of idolatry, of paganism, of a rejection of all that's good. And they don't know that under their very eyes, here is a woman, quiet, self-effacing, but she is transmitting to Rivka the Torah of Avram and Sarah. It's subtle, it's quiet, it's done without fanfare, but this Rivka is imbibing the Torah of Avram and Sarah. And that's why in that Parshas Chayei Sarah, who runs around for strangers? Who runs around back and forth to do, to bake, to cook, to make for strangers? That's Avram. Who is it that's going to run around and fetch water for 10 gezinte chevra over there and their camels? Where does she get this chesed that is so unusual and exceptional? You know what Rivka is at the well? She is the image of Avram Avinu. She is Avram Avinu. What is she when Yitzchak brings her into his tent? What does Rashi say? My, she's Sarah Imo. She is his mother Sarah. You know why she's his mother Sarah? Because she's a Talmidah of Sarah. She is a student of Devorah who took all of the Torah of Sarah and gave it to Rivka. The Rebbeinu Shem is great. The Rebbeinu Shem, under the watchful eyes of Lavan and Bessuel, there's a fifth column right there in the house. There is a woman who is teaching Rivka all of the Torah of Avram and Sarah. Unbelievable. This woman is so unusual and so exceptional. When she leaves her father's house and she says, Eilech, I'm going to go. Why does she say it, go? Why does it even say she ran to tell her in her mother's house? You know, she didn't run to tell her mother. She didn't run to tell her father. You know, sitting in the corner peeling potatoes in her mother's house? Devorah. You know why? Because Rivka is Devorah, look what you've done to me. You turned me into a frummy. Who am I going to marry here? Who will I marry? What did you do to me? Devorah said, don't worry, the Rebbeinu Shem is going to send the Zivik straight to the house. When she realizes that the one who came that day is looking for a wife for Yitzchak, Devorah was right. She wants Devorah to be the first one to know that everything she's been telling her all of these years, that the Rebbeinu Shem is going to send the Zivik straight to you. You won't have to go out on the date. You won't have to do anything. The Zivik is going to come into the house. You are prepared for Yitzchak. Eilech, I'm going. Because Rivka has become, through Devorah, the spitten spiritual image of Avram and Sarah. She has the chesed of Avram, and she has the tzidkus of Sarah. Only one thing left that has to be explained. What's Devorah doing out there by the house of Yaakov, someplace between Beit El and Shechem in the Shomron? What's she doing there? I'll tell you what she's doing there. Rivka may very well feel that the end of her life is coming. By the way, Rashi on this pasuk of Thomas Devorah died, and they called the place Alon Bachut. It says they were told then about another source of mourning. As they are burying Devorah, they are told that Rivka has passed away. It becomes a double avelus. Rivka and Remeneket. What's she doing there? I believe that she has one of the most important missions in all of Sefer Bereshis. Rivka may feel that her life is ebbing away. She has never seen her grandchildren. She has never seen her grandchildren. There's only one person left in the world who is a living witness to the revolution of Avram and Sarah in Paddan Aram. The great revolution that changed the world. There's one eyewitness. You know what she wants? That Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, they have to hear the story. They have to hear the story from somebody who saw it. She wants Devorah to be the one who's going to transmit to those children something that nobody else in the world will ever be able to give them. She spends half a year there. And during that half year, she describes to those kinderlach what their elder Zayde, whom they will never see, their elder Bub Avram and Sarah, what they did, what they accomplished, their discovery, their greatness. I can imagine, Chveis, Yossel is a little boy. Tell us the story of the Kivshon Ha'esh, you know, when Avram went into the Kivshon Ha'esh. I like that story. Do you know what she's doing? She is bringing together all the generations. Avram and Sarah are now alive for their great grandchildren. She is the colossus who binds together all of the generations. They're all there. These little children will know now firsthand who Avram and Sarah are. Yitzchak they're going to meet. They're going to hear a great deal about their grandmother Rivka, whom they will also never see. Who's the one that creates this? Who forms and shapes their minds? Who's the one that binds them all, connects them, all of the generations, four generations, all in one? This amazing woman, Devorah, she's the one that does it. Can you imagine now why they cry when she passes away? When she passes away, she is the mother of the Masorah of Klal Yisrael. Immediately after the death of Devorah in Parsha Vayishlach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears Vayero Elokim El Yaakov, and Elokim says to him, your name is Yaakov, it shall no longer be Yaakov, it will be Yisrael. Do you know when Yaakov becomes Yisrael? When Devorah has completed the task of cementing and uniting all of the generations and giving these kinderlach a living portrait of Avram and Sarah. Where do you think, when the Rambam and the Medrashim tell us about Avram and Sarah, all that took place in Ur Kasdim, in Paddan Aram, nothing is recorded in Torah, where do we get it from? I'm ready to bet that all of this was what Devorah had told those children. Then maybe, I get a little dramatic, a little melodramatic, but okay, I can't help it, that's me. Devorah dies. Who dies immediately after her? Rivka. They meet in heaven. Rivka sees Devorah, she says, Devorah, did you make it? Don't worry, Rivka. I got there. I told them everything. What shame anicles you have. It was cold one night, I put on a sweater on Zvulun. It felt much better. You know who's going to join them just a few psukim later? Rachel is going to die in childbirth. And the three of them are going to meet. Rachel will be able to tell Rivka, you have another Einikel. I called him Ben Oni, but I heard Yaakov call him Binyamin. And what's taking place over here is, as they join in heaven, we're talking about a Jewish family that has been sewn together all brought together by this amazing, unusual, and exceptional woman, Devorah. She is the student of Avram. She is the student of Sarah. She transmits the Torah of Avram and Sarah to this Rivkala. This Rivkala then becomes an image of Avram and Sarah. And the only thing she has left to do in life is to transmit all of that to those Yingalach that are going to be the builders of Klal Yisrael. I think that the title of my talk was correct. The woman, it's Devorah. She's the one who built the Jewish people. She brought it all together. Everything. Four generations. Four generations that ultimately are going to build a Klal Yisrael for all time, who will be doing chesed. I mean, here we are, we're about 4,000 years later, and I'll tell you, we are all the students of Avraham and Sarah, and the one that we have to thank is Devorah. Thank you.